This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2054. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded October 1st, Antarctica, Armenia, Australia, Austria, Brazil, Canada, China, Colombia, Cuba, East Turkestan, Eritrea, Finland, Germany, Korea, North and South, Kurdistan, Netherlands, New Zealand, Palau, South Sudan, Taiwan, Turkey, USA, Vanuatu, Vatican, iPhone, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Keeping up with LRA 36 Antarctica, 15475.98, USB and reduced carrier. They were successfully on the air Saturday, September 26th, with an extended broadcast. Heard from 1526 until past 19 UT. Best monitored via remotes in Brazil. However, the following Wednesday, September 30th, they said they would be on the air via Manuel Mendez, but apparently did not actually make it due to bad weather in the area, according to a later information also via Horacio Negro. In any event, the best or only times you might hear them, if they can make it, are Wednesdays roughly between 14 and 16 UT, and certain Saturdays a bit later. Originating from the Armenia shortwave site, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reports that the Radio Iran International clandestine broadcast between 02 and 14 on 11550 is putting out some spurs September 28th, plus and minus 40 kilohertz on 11510, which was clashing with Free North Korea Radio via Uzbekistan after 13 UT, and 11590, another broadcast via Armenia, TWR India on 11590. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports an anomaly from Radio 4KZ in Queensland, Australia, 5055. On September 23rd, it was still on the air, past 15 UT. General Manager Al Curtin replied they must have run late. Normally, the timer is set to run them between 1950 and 10.05 UT, and in fact, they had gone off around 10.03 back in August. Due to my editing error last week, the source of that tip about a Brazilian pirate on 5995 was omitted. It did come from Rudolf Grimm, or as I assume they say it in Brazil, Rudolf Grimm. There's another Brazilian pirate, apparently, on 6305. In Hardcore DX, Art Delibear in Maryland, September 24th, says heard from 2320, clearly coming from the southeast due to his SAL antenna. Not a Euro pirate, which would be from the northeast. He says it seems to be Brazil, judging from the language. Any more information? Synergy applies, as I found another report about this in the Michigan area tip sheet from Andy Robbins. He says a possible Brazilian pirate on 6305 AM, heard rather poorly for the last few nights as of September 25th. Checking the remote in Brasilia, it is much stronger. Playing pop music and announcements in Portuguese. Programming very slick, including ads, could be a pirate relaying a licensed station. At midnight 15 UT, they were S3 to S4 with faint audio. Both Radio Nacional da Amazonia shortwave frequencies are subject to distortion, sometimes extreme, or sometimes just one of them, 6180 or 11780. On September 27th at midnight 32, it was the lower one I found, but the upper one was even worse, although the lower one had a stronger signal. By the way, their list is only 5 kilowatts in the WRTH, but that's hard to believe. Meanwhile, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria found the 6180 transmitter way off frequency September 25th from 1400 and drifting down, as he heard it via remote in Brasilia, 6173.5 variable. Via Richard Langley, more about the DRM plans at Radio Nacional da Amazonia from the DRM NA Info blog. It's an interview with Rafael Diniz. What is the current status of DRM in Brazil? He says the discussion is stuck, blocked by commercial broadcasters expressing against digitalization of radio, considering it a threat to commercial broadcasting. Although the upcoming experiments would be with a 2.5 kilowatt transmitter, they would be via a high-gain antenna between 16 and 20 dBs. They also plan to test a bandwidth of 20 kHz instead of the usual 10 for DRM, allowing more than one audio program and multimedia content. But the content would be from RNA, same as broadcast in AM on those two shortwave frequencies. And is there any long-term plan? He says EBC is in the process of purchasing two 100 kilowatt DRM transmitters to be delivered sometime in 2021 to provide a steady digital reception, even with the smallest battery-powered receivers in all parts of the Amazon rainforest. Experiments will most likely start this year sometime, but the times and frequencies are yet to be determined. And he said that the modulation problems on the present AM transmitters have been brought to the attention of the engineer in Brasilia. Joe Caberlin in Ontario heard my attempt to pronounce the name of that Cree town in Quebec with a beacon on 371 kHz. First I'll spell it, and then I'll give his pronunciation. K-W-J-U-A-R-A-P-I-K. He says I should try this. Could you whack? Ron Howard says if you would like to hear the brief English ID of the number 2 network from China, CNR2, this is CNR Business Radio. You have to listen at the bottom of the hour, not the top, when he's not hearing it, but instead at around 10:30, 11:30, and 14:30 UT on 6155. As mentioned last week, the anonymous mystery missionary station, perhaps from Colombia on 4940, had been missing since September 19th, but it was finally being heard again as of UT September 28th in our evenings, best via remote receiver in Bonaire, and was still on the following three nights, at least through October 1st, with typical programming, such as a long-winded preacher, playing back some of the very same recordings we had heard weeks ago, and lessons from history in Spanish. The automated time checks continued to be in UT-4, which fits for Venezuela and some other countries, but not for Colombia. It may well be on the air all night when active. I've heard it past 0600. By then, it's putting in a pretty good signal direct, even stronger than Brazil on 4885. Radio Havana, Cuba is now messing up the 60-meter band with very distorted spur blobs out of the 5040 transmitter at intervals of 40 or 41 kilohertz away, such as September 24th at 0128. Even if you can't make out the modulation to parallel, they do have that telltale F-sharp tone, just like we would hear before on the 13 or 15 megahertz band out of perhaps the same defective transmitter. The biggest one is on 5080 or 5081, whether or not WTWW is on 5085, but I've also heard signs of them on all these other approximate frequencies, 5120, 5160, 5200, and on the lesser side, 4960 and 4920. Now, there should be one also on 5000 even, but that's blocked by WWV, although where reception is weaker from that, there may well be interference. This is also happening September 29th at 2344 during the English hour on 5040, heard on 5081, and the original simulcast for Africa on 7380 is still long gone. Something's always wrong at RHC. Mauno Ritola in Finland has been trying to figure out the languages involved in the clandestine broadcast via France, Saturdays at 15 to 16 UT on 17545, thought to be for Eritrea in particular, but he has also heard a greeting in Arabic, and there could also be Somali involved. It could be there are two different programs, Radio Somali, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and an Eritrean program on Saturdays. SNN could be the Somali News Network. Or as Hans-Jörg Biener suggests, it could be SMN for Shabelle Media Network from Somalia. In case you're hearing this in time, Manuel Menith in Spain previews some special broadcasts from Europe which are not on every day, not even every week, but for the first weekend in October. There's Radio Zeta 2, Saturday 3 October, 10 to 12 UT on 6090. 95 via Germany. That's on the air every quarter, that is every 3 months. Radio Joystick, the Charlie Prince show via Austria, Sunday 4 October, like the first Sunday of each month, at 10 UT on 7330 Mosbrunn, Austria. And then there's Scandinavian Weekend Radio from Finland, very low power on the first weekend of the month, from 21 UT Friday, 2 October, to 21 UT Saturday on the 3rd. At any given hour, they're using two frequencies, one on 25 meters and one on 49, 5980, 6170, 11690, or 11720. Ivo Ivanov, observer in Bulgaria, notes Voice of Korea from the north, September 25th, on several of their frequencies, 0.2 kilohertz on the plus side, so add that to the frequencies I'm about to give. These are in various languages lasting 1 hour each. Between 03 and 07, 13650 plus. From 07 to 9, 15245. From 10 to 13, 15180. And from 13 all the way until 2350, above 15245. Ron Howard forwards the monthly frequency changes for Shokaze or Sea Breeze about North Korean abductions transmitted from Japan. As of September 29th, 13 to 14 UT on 6040 and 6090, 16 to 17 on 5980 and 6165. And the relay in between of another such clandestine, 1405 to 1435, on 5920 and 7325. And Ron Howard observes the frequency changes as of Monday, September 28th for South Korean clandestines to the north. Usually they make the changes on Monday, but lately there have also been some changes in midweek. Anyhow, Voice of the People on 3480, 3910, 3925 despite Japan, 4450, 6520, 6600, heard at 1345 on September 28th, while Echo of Hope, 3985, 4880, 5995, 6245, 6350, and 9095. And the third one, Voice of Freedom, has gone to 6045, a terrible frequency, unusable due to North Korean super jamming already there. B-20 shortwave season, bringing lots of changes, starts the last Sunday in October, but some details of tentative plans are starting to come out. Wolfgang Bischel says that USAGM North Carolina is scheduled for the KBS World Radio South Korea Spanish Relay on 5990 between 01 and 02 UT. That must be replacing the longtime relay via WHRI at the same time, which has been on 9605, and the last I checked is still running for now. Kurdistan Non, Ivo Ivanov says the radio war continues between Dengue Lat and Turkish jamming on 11530, heard September 30th. 06 to 11, the Kurdish and Turkish broadcasts of Dengue Lat, and between 06 and 16 also what he calls TRT Radio Recep Erdogan, named for the president of Turkey. And Dengue Lat is believed to be transmitted via Pridnestrovia, also known as Moldova, at that time. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 2054, also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. No new contributions to acknowledge this week, which might have been sent via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com, not necessarily in U.S. funds, as PayPal will convert, or via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. During the last week in September, we've had some geomagnetic storms reaching the G1 or G2 levels, and K indices as high as 6, meaning quite degraded propagation, especially on shortwave. For example, the mighty KBC from the Netherlands via Germany, 5960, weekly broadcast, UT Sunday, September 27th, between midnight and 02, was barely audible. It was just about as weak as the almost co-channel interference, always offset slightly minus, which is from PBS Xinjiang in Urumqi, East Turkestan, the land of brainwashing Uyghurs, and H.R. McMaster calls it cultural genocide by the CHICOM, against the Uyghurs. The remote receiver in Holland was getting them both stronger, but still about equal to each other, making them unusable. The frequency it locked onto for Urumqi was 5959.93. According to its schedule, Radio New Zealand International, or Pacific, made one frequency modification effective October 1st. 9700 is no longer anywhere on their schedule, but 11725 is now running for 2 hours between 05 and 07 UT. That could be good in North America if the MUF permits. Big news this week is that T8WH in Palau will be firing back up. It's been off the air since last year when World Harvest Radio closed it down. We got this from Scott Reppert, who is the media coordinator at Hope Radio, or MFC Ministries, or Restoration Church International in Morgantown, West Virginia. On September 28th, he says, "I thought you would be interested to know that the former World Harvest Radio transmitters on the island of Palau are going to be resuming operations. The new brand will be Hope Radio, the first day of operation planned to be November 1st. Frequencies 9930 for China, 15675 for Southeast Asia, and 9965 for Korea. Programming will originate from our studios and offices here in Morgantown, West Virginia. I'm sure some preliminary testing will be taking place." Though we await further word about that, but meanwhile keep an ear on the planned frequencies. And I wonder if they are buying the facility outright. Wolfgang Büchel says for the B-20 season, these frequencies are tentatively registered, and some additional ones besides those just mentioned, 9905, 9930, 9950, 9965, 15675, and 15680. And by the way, the Palau facility is still referred to as HBN. On September 30th, Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener says, about South Sudan Non, "The special COVID-19 broadcasts of iRadio, scheduled for August, have now been heard. They are announced as Monday to Friday at 8 a.m. local on 11650 and 8 p.m. on 15410, fitting a schedule published by Ivo Ivanov earlier in September. These are an extra hour after the original broadcasts, all of which are Monday through Friday only, mainly in Juba Arabic, but also English and several native languages. All transmissions actually start 1 minute before the hour and end 3 minutes before the following hour. The extra hour about COVID-19 is at 05 to 06 on 11650 via Madagascar and 17 to 18 on 15410 via France. As of 1729, HJB says most programs up till now were in English, recognizable or understandable, but whenever I check on iRadio, I come across English segments, maybe at least for shortwave, the working language is English. The final quarter hour in the morning of the regular program was in English, and the moderator translated a part of the English segment into another language. However, via the remote in Holland, IGH was monitoring September 30th, starting at 1720 for the transmission via France on 15410, putting in a good signal despite the proximity. There was a discussion with someone on the phone. It did not sound like English to me until there was heavily accented English at 1730. Better English by the studio host. And for the following half hour, they continued going back and forth in and out of English, including with standard advice about coping with COVID-19, but cut off abruptly before they could finish at 1757. Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo informs us that Radio Taiwan International announced in their Japanese service they will send a special live shortwave transmission on Saturday, October 10th. That's the National Day of the Republic of China, known as Double Tenth Day, the day of the Xinhai Revolution in 1911. On this schedule, Japanese at 02 to 03 on 15750, English at 02 to 03 on 15665, and in Mandarin at 0110 until 0330 on 1557, 9745, 9770, 12025, 15465, and 15530. Something's always erroneous at Emerlair. Voice of Turkey continues to be quite irregular. Richard Langley was monitoring the 1830 English broadcast on 5945 at the Holland remote, but it did not come on the air until 1850, September 27th. The broadcast in English at 22 UT that day was completely missing from 9830. Via Celio Romais, Carlos Latouf in Porto Alegre reports that Voice of Turkey's Spanish broadcast at 01 UT on 7260 has been coming on about 10 minutes early, carrying some news in Portuguese, a language which otherwise would not be on shortwave from Turkey. It's not really clear whether this is a mistake or intentional. De France of WWRB 5050 in Manchester, Tennessee, also runs a beacon under his ham call sign, slightly above 475 kHz. This is in the so-called 630-meter ham band, which is only 7 kHz wide, and hams are secondary to maritime. I was hearing it September 27th and 29th, around 0600 or 0630. The ID and some other info comes in very slow Morse code. Listen for WA4SZE. September 24th was the day when Trump's man heading the U.S. AGM, Michael Pack, was scheduled to testify before Congress, but he ignored the subpoena. Will he be held in contempt? Does that matter? There was later a report the same day on the PBS NewsHour about this situation, and eventually we got a link to the entire hearing lasting over 3 hours without Mr. Pack. These are linked in the World of Radio IO group. Thanks to Charles Harlick. It's from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and it's on YouTube. Even the U.S. government is relying on that. The title is Oversight of the U.S. Agency for Global Media and U.S. International Broadcasting Efforts. Stephen Michael Kellott in Ohio opines, I hate to broach the question, but what plan, if any, would a Biden-Harris administration have about U.S. AGM? Even the campaign website only makes a single foreign affairs reference, and that's to the Northern Triangle region of Central America. He says, as much as I would support Kim Andrew Elliott as a new CEO of USAGM under a Biden-Harris administration, there's nothing I can track down to say what role the agency would play in such an administration. We have the not good now and a big question on the potential future. A week later, on September 30th, some press has broken via Ben Cobb, such as this. Six senior Trump admin officials file whistleblower complaint over Voice of America CEO. That's in The Hill and refers to Politico. The six officials were all placed on administrative leave August 12th. The complaint alleges Pack, appointed by Trump, wanted to force out the complainants because they were part of the deep state and had played a role in the delay of Pack's confirmation to his position at USAGM. And the other story is from CQ Roll Call via Gazette Extra, October 1st, by Rachel Oswald, headline, U.S. Agency for Global Media Unrecognizable Under Trump Ally, about all the firings he's carried out. Immediately following the World of Radio broadcast, UT Tuesday, September 29th, at 0130 on 7780 WRMI, instead of wave scan, I heard a show billed as the first shortwave broadcast of WVDC International, a pilot. Hope you enjoy the music. And there was some SSTV for a little while. I believe this first aired about 6 months ago, and if it's a pilot, it may have been aired continuously every week after that. WVDC is not a real FCC licensed station, but they say they do have some Part 15 outlets, and they give a phone number around Baltimore, Maryland. Via WRMI FB, word about a special broadcast last weekend and apparently repeated October 3rd and 4th. It's called Brain 5, BRANEFIVE, with a number of different broadcasts and a special QSL available from this young rock band from Lucerne, Switzerland. If interested, check out the entry at WRMI FB. Something else I missed at the time, because I do not regularly check disgraced FB, was a special program way back on June 15th on WRMI from Holly Palombo, who makes music from shortwave radio and interval signal samples. But you can still hear some of that at her website, www.halipalombo.com. The clip titled Disturb is actually from the Quran. Wolfgang Büschel points out a new frequency registered for WRMI in B20. It's 11710. Between 23 and 03 UT on a 160-degree beam. The current SCED grid shows three transmitters using that antenna, 9955, 4980, which is currently blank but heard at night with a weak exciter level signal, and 5800. The last with RAI Argentina relays from 02 and until 03 on Tuesday through Saturday. You know, it so happens that 11711 variable was RAI's last shortwave frequency, direct from General Pacheco until it crashed several years ago. So it'll be interesting to hear what comes up via WRMI. The WTFDA forum, Doug Smith reports, Scripps buys ION, programming changes pending. Scripps owns 60 TV stations around the country, most affiliates of various major networks. A few of smaller networks, it also operates CATS Networks, K-A-T-Z, 5 sub-channel networks, Bounce TV, Court TV, Court TV Mystery, Grit, and Laugh. ION owns 62 stations, all affiliated with the ION network. Scripps will keep 39 of them. The other 23 will be spun off to a company not yet disclosed, but remain ION affiliates. Scripps has announced ION stations will replace the existing programming on their 2 through 6 sub-channels with CATS network programming. This will in turn pull that from non-ION stations that were carrying it. The deal is expected to close in the first quarter of 2021. In WTFDA VHF UHF Digest, congratulations go out to Mr. Ed Phelps, who's become the first TV DXer in the world to log 1,000 digital TV stations. He lives in Benton, Kentucky, and he did it all by himself with his clunky old DTV box. Similar to the Armenia situation mentioned earlier, Wolfgang Büschel reports on intermodulation at the Tashkent, Uzbekistan transmitting station. He says that 13UT 11550 is carrying the clandestine Iran International TV, while 11510 is carrying a clandestine for Korea. And these produce intermodulation 40 kHz above and below on 11470 and 11590. Ron Howard reports that Radio Vanuatu was clearly off the air September 30th from the third harmonic 11835. But on the next day, October 1st, the English hour at 0330 was preempted for special live coverage of the National Business Forum in Bislama and French. Vuv Ivanov reports a frequency change for Vatican Radio via U.S. AGM in the Philippines, effective October 3rd for the Saturday Chinese Mass between 1230 and 1310 UT. Had been on 7485, now up to 7490, where, of course, it will collide with another religious station, WWCR, but maybe not too much of a problem over there. Anyhow, this relay violates separation of church and state. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Paul Dobosch says, it appears more recent versions of the Apple iPhone radiate a signal in the middle of the AM band, broadcasting your conversation for about a 20-foot radius. Referring to a September 18th story at Hackaday.com, listening to an iPhone with an AM radio by Danny Conradi. The amplifier of the speaker appears to be the culprit, putting out audio from the phone when a radio is tuned nearby to 950 to 970 kHz. The propagation outlook from Boulder, G1 active minor storm levels likely, October 21st to 23rd, and KNSC peaking at 24 and 5. Solar flux 72, but dipping to 70 between October 5th and 18th. That's World of Radio 2054. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.